All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 97. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back, WMMA fans, back with another episode. Got a few things I want to discuss with y'all tonight. Of course, this ain't going to be a very long episode. Now, I usually say that and it turns out to be a long live stream, but like I said, these episodes here, these podcast episodes, I'm going to start cutting them down to like 30, 40 minutes. And so far, I've been pretty good about it. I've been sticking to it, been strict on it. So yeah, you know, I just want to stick to a few topics, kind of give you all my thoughts, and y'all can just leave your comments in the comment section like usual. So just go ahead and make sure y'all subscribe to Combo Breaker 99 and all the other platforms like I always name, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you listen to your podcast, that's where you can find this show at exclusively as well. But yeah, man, I'm on the road to 1,000, you know, almost there, getting close to 1,000 on the YouTube channel. So just keep on liking, keep on subscribing, and keep on tuning in if y'all like to talk about WMMA, you know, because that's one of the things I'm good at talking about, right? WMMA. So yeah, man, a few things I want to discuss. Let's see. First off, you know, want to go in a little bit more in depth, just a few afterthoughts of the Nunes-Pena rematch, you know, as far as not the fight, but as far as just the aftermath, the outcome. You know, you got a few people calling out Nunes now, the possibilities of a Nunes-Shevchenko rubber match, possibilities of a Pena-Nunes rubber match, what's next for Pena in general, right? And just the overall performance of Nunes and Pena in this fight. Like, did it really up the stock of the bantamweight division? Or is it just the fact that the bantamweight division hasn't seen this much action in a long time? Is that all? Which leads me to my next topic, 125 versus 135. You know, according to Juliana Pena, the best fights were 135. So, you know, I want to kind of give my thoughts on what she had to say about that. You know, as far as Shevchenko moving down the flyweight because she couldn't beat him, because she couldn't beat Amanda. So the division was created around her, you know. So I want to just get my thoughts on flyweight versus bantamweight, like which really is the best division right now. So let's talk about that. Couple of good fights on the horizon I just want to get my thoughts on too. Cheyenne Velasquez versus Tabitha Ricci, October 1st and December 3rd. This just came out today at the time of the recording of this episode. Tracy Cortez taking on Amanda Ibas, December 3rd. Amanda Ibas looks like she's done found her a home. She done found that home after she got that ranking, number 15, right, in the flyweight division. She said, you know what, I'm going to settle in. Go ahead and give me Tracy Cortez. I like that. I do like that. I think I like this move, but I'll give y'all my full thoughts on that here in a minute. So yeah, man, let's see, UFC 277, as a whole, pay-per-view turned out to be okay. It wasn't like one of their best, you know. There's been a few better UFC fight night cards over the past few weeks that I think were just all around better matchmaking, you know, better matches, and they just did better matchmaking. Some good finishes, you know. I think it was that Calvin Kattar card with Josh Emmett. That was a good one. But this one definitely has some good matches, of course, you know, like the Nunes-Pena fight as a whole. That was just one that we needed to see. And it turned out to be a great fight. You know, it turned out to be a great fight. Marino versus France was a great fight. One fight of the night. What else? As far as WMA, there wasn't much. So in that manner, I did have to kind of take away from it because all they had was Jocelyn Edwards versus Jin-Yoon Kim. You know, they didn't even throw any more flyweights on there. Of course, maybe they didn't have anybody ready to fight, but I'm sure they could have found somebody. You know, they could have thrown somebody in this card, you know, some more bantamweights or something, strawweight fights or something to make it interesting for WMMA fans, right? But yeah, overall, you know, I think the pay-per-view, the main event, did deliver. The co-main event and the main event, they definitely delivered, you know, as I was calling it with y'all in my fight companion Saturday night. I was on the edge of my seat. I was sweating. You know, I was sweating. I was enjoying the fight. So, yeah, I think overall, the fight definitely did help WMMA. Nunes Pena did, you know. So, yeah, shout out to both the ladies. But, with Nunes back in business with the belt, I know for some people it's rubbing them the wrong way. You know, all the Nunes haters, they thinking, oh, man, once again, we back on a Nunes dominant train. You know, the division's going to be boring again. But I don't think it's her fault. I don't think it's her fault at all. I mean, the division's getting older. You know, it's just the fact we don't have a lot of new blood. You know, Amanda Nunes, she's the one fighter in the division that just continues to get better and develop. Even through a loss, y'all see that she made some great improvements, more improvements than some of these other fighters. That's why she got it back, right? She's just the one, I think, that's the most hungry. You know, Juliana Pena, she's tough, but when you look at Amanda Nunes versus Irene Aldana, Holly Holm, all of these other ladies, she's just the best fighter. She's just the best fighter in the division, and that's how it works sometimes, right? So I think we're just going to have to stick around until she retires. We're just going to have to stick it out until she retires now. We're just going to have to keep on taking it, right? You got to give her credit. Amanda goes in there. She makes the right improvements. Sometimes she'll be on. Sometimes she won't be focused, but, hey, she's human, you know? This time around, she made up for that last performance with a 5-round domination over Juliana Pena. Do I agree with what Amanda said? Do I really think she meant it when she said she just wanted to go 5 and she didn't want to finish Juliana Pena? Somewhat. Yes and no. I'd probably say 70-30. I'd say 70 she did want to go and 30% she could. You know, she probably couldn't have stopped. I say that because the way she fought, she could have stopped Juliana Pena at any moment, I think. The way she dropped her 5 times in the first 2 rounds, I think she could have clubbed her and got her out of there a few more times, you know, in the second and third round, you know, for real. Like, she was just catching her clean with so many shots. And at times it was almost like Amanda was smiling and just fighting calm, cool, and relaxed. And she was enjoying the beating. It was like she was just playing with the food like a lion does or like a cat, you know. So I think to a certain extent, she was kind of just dragging the fight out and just having some fun in there and just showing Pena and punishing Pena a little bit. Because, you know, Pena went on record say she was a better fighter the first time around. So Amanda said, I got something to prove. You know, I'm going to beat her for 5 rounds. I'm going to dominate her. And I'm going to continue to tease her and give her this many chances to try to submit me or even hurt me. And she can't do it, right? So she beat her on the feet, on the ground, and just kind of carried her throughout the fight. If you ask me, there were some moments where, like, she was carrying her. Now, with the heart that Juliana possesses, I could see her just not being able to stop her. You know, the chin on Juliana Pena, if you look at her body language too, like even when she got dropped, boom, back up, boom, back up. She's like a zombie. You know, if you don't kill the head or take the head off, it's going to keep on coming. And that's how Juliana Pena is. You know, she's like Arturo Gatti, you know, just keep on banging away and she keeps on getting up unless somebody stops it for her, right? So in that manner, it could have been that, because Juliana Pena's always had a big heart. You know, she's never been broken in any of her fights. You got to choke her out. You've got, like I said, you got to put her out to get her out. So maybe Amanda Nunes couldn't, but I think she could have. You know, I think she could have got her out of there if she wanted to. But because if you look at the performance, she really was doing a lot of different things in there, where it was like she was just kind of proving she was a better fighter, even on the ground, like with the takedowns, like getting takedown after takedown to kind of show she could do it, and then just showing who the better grappler was and just showing who had better jiu-jitsu. It was just like she was going through all these different motions to just show, like, Pena, like, look, this is how good I am. See, you're gonna stay in this fight the whole time and witness just how great I am, right? So I think that she did want to go 5, you know. I know some people disagree, but yeah, I think so. As for Juliana Pena, like I said, it's good to show heart. It really is. But that's only whenever the time calls for it for me. Like, I like to see fighters get up when they get rocked, you know, and show they have a great chin and they can show how tough they can be. But that's only when the situation calls for it. Like, I don't want to see somebody just constantly take big shots. Like, Pena's team told her to eat these right hands like Scooby snacks, and she overloaded on them. You know what I mean? She overloaded and damn near got sick from them. So I didn't want to see her just go in there and take shots. That's why I was saying the other day, like, when she said, take the right hand, I'm like, no, you don't take the right hand. You take away the right hand. That's what a technician does, and that's what a great fighter does. You know, you take away your opponent's weapon. You don't take their weapon, because the more you take their weapon, they're just going to continue to score points and they're going to get more and more confident in their punches landing on you, right? So they're just going to keep doing it until they take you out. So you have to take away that weapon and not take it, right? So I think Pena's mindset, if she wants to get back into the championship realm, she's going to have to change it up a little bit, you know, change up the style. It's good to know she can be relentless, but, you know, change up the style a little bit, you know, change it up, be more defensive minded. You know, got to remember you have a daughter, you got a family, so you don't want to be taking this much punishment. I know you got something to prove, but dang, like, how many of those bricks can you take from Amanda, right? Like, just imagine what kind of damage you're doing to your body on the inside. You know, I got to think of that stuff because it's like me seeing these other martial artists, like, you know, Valentina or even like Floyd Mayweather, these fighters that understand the process of hit and not get hit. You know, they really understand that if we want to be champion, we have to take away weapons. We have to take away weapons. We have to think defense. That's the only way you're going to be a champion, and a champion that can enjoy it down the stretch in your life, right? So for somebody like Juliana Pena, I know she understands, like, if I want to get the belt, I got to win. I got to beat this person up. But sometimes beating the person up, you know, hey, like, you can just move your head, be slick, counter, you know, make them beat themselves up mentally. Sometimes that's the best way to do it, you know, defeating somebody mentally without always having to try to walk into the fire, right? Don't just walk in and pat it out without asbestos gloves or something, you know, get you a fire extinguisher, take that fire out the right way, you know, so you don't have to get burned. You know, that's how I see it. But, you know, Pena, you know, I just think sometimes, you know, she gets into that mind frame where she thinks she has to be reckless, but you don't have to. Just look around. There's so many other champions that have been around that gotten the belt without taking this much punishment, without putting their chin on the line, right? You don't always want to put your chin on the line like that, especially if you want to get better and you want to be champion again, you know? So with that being said, with that much damage that she took, you know, and a lot of it just, she was just taking because she didn't have the skills to get away from it. I don't really want to see her do a rematch right now or a rubber match right now. You know, me personally, she's got to re-earn it. You know, I think Nunes got hers because she had higher stock. You know, she was a longer time champion, and, you know, she had a lot to to go on and a stronger argument. But the way Pena lost this fight, it's like, okay, you lost every single round. You didn't win a single round. You know, a couple 10-8 rounds in there, and you just got taken apart, you know, this short of a stoppage. So for me, if you got beat that bad, even though you didn't get stopped, I think it'd be wise for her to go back to the drawing board and get a couple more fights and just kind of work on her game again and re-earn it just to make it more interesting. Because right now, after seeing that 5-round beating, I don't think even the fans want to see that. I think the fans would want to see you recapture the fire and go on a win streak this time versus last time she didn't really go on a win streak. You know, she had lost the GDR, beat Sarah McMahon, then got the title shot, right? Maybe she does something a little bit more interesting and, you know, goes off in the sunset for a while, disappears, then comes back after defeating these other opponents and, you know, starts talking that trash again. People will want to revisit that third fight. They'll say, oh, yeah, they are 1-1, right? Yeah, and they could redo it now because Juliana Pena is taking heads off. She beat Irene Aldana, Macy Chason. Oh, wow, she beat Ketlin Vieira. Dang, like Holly Holm, too. She ready. You know what I mean? So that's just something that I think that she would have to do to re-earn that that third fight, you know, to keep the rivalry going. So yeah, as for Amanda Nunes, you know, it's whatever for her. You know, sounds like Dana White wants to make Nunes Shevchenko 3 again. Personally, that's a rubber match I don't want to see. I'd rather see Ketlin Vieira get it. You know, Ketlin Vieira, she called for it. She said, let's make this thing happen in Brazil. You know, Ketlin Vieira, I know she doesn't possess too many tools that could upset Amanda, but, you know, she's a big, tall contender. Who knows, right? You know, she's a big, strong fighter. And now's her time, you know, because she's had quite a few hiccups in her career, you know, injuries and so on. So, yeah, man, let's see what we can do with that, right? So, yeah, good bantamweight fight all around. Like I said, it was much needed for the division. And like I was telling some other people the other day, I said, you know, one, for one reason, this fight here, it really got a lot of people amped up because, you know, we don't see this many great fights at 135. You know, it was a much needed fight for 135. We haven't seen this much action in a minute. You know, of course, we saw it with the first Pena Nunes fight, but just all around as a whole, we haven't really had great bantamweight fights because, you know, the division is kind of on the downside. And with that being said, I definitely have to say I disagree with what Pena said a while back, or not a while back, but, you know, a few days ago now, before the rematch, at the first press conference, you know, Julianna Pena said that the best fights are 135, and the flyweight division was created just for Valentina because she couldn't beat Amanda, so they created the division around Valentina because she's smaller, right? So, yeah, that's the next topic here, 125 versus 135. Yeah, like I said, I disagree with it. I mean, let me pull up how she actually said it. Okay, this is what she said last week. She said, for the most part, the featherweight division, which only has two people in it, honestly, I really can't name more than two. It's just girls in the bantamweight division that don't want to cut weight, so they just move up to featherweight. So then they had to create a whole other division at flyweight because Valentina couldn't beat Amanda two times. So when they went and cut weight and created a division for her to move down to 125, the real fights, the best fights are 135. All right. Now, 6 or 7 years ago, I probably would agree with her. You know, I definitely would agree with her back then, you know, when Ronda Rousey was around and Holly was, you know, still at her best. And, you know, Sarah McMahon, all these other great fighters that were still in great shape and prime, ready to go. You know, it was a great division. And, you know, even Irene Aldana at the time when she first came into the division, you know, you had good fights with Shayna Baszler. All of these fighters, they used to put on some good performances, right? So back then, yeah, the best fights were it. Kat Zingano, you know, even when Caitlin Vieira was first hitting the division before she faced her first couple of losses. Yeah, best fights were there at a time. But now, I can't say so much because everybody's been there and done that. You know, I'm not really calling anybody has been, but I call them been there and done that because they've already matched up before and they've already fought, right? So now we just have a division with some of these fighters that are already aging. We've already seen these fights before and some of them are just not rising to the occasion anymore, you know, and they're already fighters that Amanda Nunes beat, you know, so I think the best fights have already been made, you know, and we've already seen those days. But as of right now, we have a new division in 125, and to me, it's made up of, I think it's made up of women that really want to fight at this weight. It wasn't made for just Valentina Shevchenko, because at the time when this division was created, Valentina was still at 135, right? You know, this division was created for some of the women that were too small for bantamweight, you know, that had small frames, and they were going in there with these big bantamweights that they just couldn't handle, even frame wise. You know, like I feel like the fighters like Caitlin Keg and Lauren Murphy, they are big for the flyweight division, but they're too small for bantamweight, you know, so they kind of break even here because they don't have like a lot of power and they don't have a lot of strength that matches up with some of the bantamweight. So they kind of found a home here. And then you have the long, lean straw weights that have trouble chopping down weight to make 115, right? So they can find their home here at 125. So 125 was made for a reason. That's why this division filled out so fast. You know, that's why I disagree with her on that. Like, 125, it wasn't just made for Valentina. It was made for a lot of women that are similar to her build and her size that can't hang with these big women at 135 that sometimes fight at featherweight, right? This is a much-needed division. That's why it's filled out. That's why you still had a lot of strawweights moving up. That's why you had Andrade. That's why you had Tatiana trying to make her way here. That's why you had Cynthia Calvillo come here. That's why you had Amanda Ibas come in here, right? Not just Valentina Shevchenko. Hey, that's why Joanna took a crack at it, you know, in which I still want to see her fight at 125, you know? So this division wasn't just made for it. You know, they did a whole tough house to bring in, you know, women in this division. And it wasn't just those women. They were able to bring in more, like Roxanne Modafferi. You know, Roxanne Modafferi fought at bantamweight, as she's found her home at 125 for a while. Jessica I did. So it wasn't just about Valentina. There was just so many other fighters that found 125 easy to make because, again, they have similar builds like her, and they didn't want to, you know, try to take on these big featherweights and bantamweights, right? They wanted a weight that was near them, and they didn't have to kill themselves to make 115 either. That's why this division filled out so fast, unlike featherweight, you know? Because I did a live stream once where I counted all the flyweights, and, you know, you had, like, over 30, you know, 15 ranked plus the 15 unranked. So there's a lot of women that want to make this weight, you know? So it's not just Valentina here. And it fills out a good division, you know? So let's be real. Right now, the best fights are being made at 125 because you have a division where you have a lot of experience, and you also have a division that has a lot of hunger. So you have a lot of hunger and a lot of experience here. So you're going to get a lot of good collision courses here. You know, you're going to have the fighters like the Caitlin Kagans, Alexa Grasso, Andrea Lee, you know, these veterans, Jennifer Maya, versus the new blood like Manon, Tyler, Vivian Arrujo, Aaron Blanchfield, Casey O'Neill. So you have a good division that's in transition to be what bantamweight used to be. The same way bantamweight used to be on top, now it's time for the flyweight division. Because you know why? Because flyweight is made up of women that want to be in this weight class and can make it, right? So you're going to get a good mix of different styles, much more comfortable fighters fighting. You know, nobody's going to be too far off in weight. It's not going to be mismatched too much, because even like with bantamweight, sometimes like you had weird mismatches there, like that Bea Malecki fight and Veronica Macedo, you know, stuff like that. You won't really see that down here at flyweight. I know that was probably just a mismatch because they just threw an early a late replacement in there, but still it didn't work out right. You really won't see that at flyweight. I think for the most part, everybody kind of matches up. Even when Ebos and Chikagian fought, even when Andrade and Chikagian fought, it still matched up because they both made 125 comfortably, and they evened out. They just evened out when it came down to skills and power and so on, right? So, yeah, to me, 125 right now is winning over 135, because again, 135 just doesn't have a lot of well-seasoned fighters like 125 does. I mean, now you got Tough House fighters coming in, Invicta fighters coming in here. Then you have former champions like Manon that are coming in, that they're helping shape up this division. And then, like I said, you have the veterans here as well. And then you had some bantamweights moving down, and then you had strawweights moving down. So, yeah, this is actually the division where you have the best fights to me. I mean, I know every time when we look at the champion, that's a different thing, right? But the champion is here, but the other fighters from 1 to 15, they still make interesting fights, though. And right now, with the level of fighters that are coming into flyweight and that are evolving, like Manones and the Tylers, they will pretty soon make a very they're gonna make it complicated for Valentina to continue her streak. Let me just put it that way. You know, eventually you're gonna get more evolved fighters, improved fighters, that are gonna make it harder for, you know, Valentina to just run through them. So yeah, that's just what it is, man. This division is growing as a whole, you know. So yeah, Let me know what y'all think, guys. But yeah, bantamweight, it's had its day. It's definitely had its day, but it's not today anymore. I'd love to see it come back. You know, like I said, I'd love to see them sign new blood. They got Chelsea Chandler in the house. Eventually, maybe Tanisha Tennant will get there. But maybe when Julie Avila comes back from maternal leave, you know, we'll start to get somewhere. But as of right now, 125 just has a lot of different looks. You know, like I said, some fighters are in the process of are growing, but it's getting there. It really is. All right. So, all right. And speaking of Valentina Shevchenko, I mean, we all already seen the tweet, right? We all seen the tweet this past fight night. You know, as soon as the fight was over, you know, Valentina Shevchenko had this to say, right? She said, "Looks like Amanda Nunes decided to fully copy my stand-up game. Great fight, both ladies," right? So, you know, a few people asked me about it again. I talked about it. And, yeah, maybe we were taking it a little bit too serious. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I think Valentina Shevchenko, she was probably just throwing out a few words to keep her name relevant, keep it in the mix, and try to get at Amanda Nunes. Because, you know, Amanda Nunes, she addressed it. You know, she just kind of laughed at it. She said she's not copying her style. And, you know, this is something that she was working on. And she basically said this ain't something that, you know, she needs to be worried about right now, you know, because, hey, Valentina Shevchenko already has a rival in the flyweight division in Tyler Santos, right? Amanda Nunes just went on and said, you know, hey, I think Tyler Santos beat you. You know what I mean? She said, hey, that's something that she has to be worried about. But when it comes down to styles, you know, look, Southpaw wasn't created by Valentina Shevchenko, right? It wasn't created by her. It's a form of a stance for left-handed fighters. That's basically what it is. And, you know, her saying that she copied her style, no, not at all. I think she was just having a little dig. And even if she was serious, there's no way that Valentina Shevchenko was rubbing off in Amanda Nunes in that fight. You know, I think technically Amanda Nunes, her southpaw style, it was a bit more offensive. It was more so to exploit her right hand. And I think she was much more active with it. And she wasn't as technically as sharp as Valentina Shevchenko with her approach. But it was very precise. It was very precise, and it worked for her. But yeah, the way she was even throwing her right hooks and her left hands, it was much more different. The footwork was different for Amanda Nunes. You know, she wasn't really stationary like Valentina and just, you know, throwing off like those, you know, single accurate shots, you know, just to kind of get the respect of her opponent, you know, single counter shots. You know, Amanda was throwing more combinations with hers, you know, even her right hook. Like at times she would throw a check right hook, but even then sometimes it was more so just a chopping right hand to go around the left hand of Juliana Pena as she rushed in. You know, every time Juliana would rush in, she would just pop off that right hand, or even on the offense she would throw the right hand over around the guard of Juliana Pena. So I mean, you know, it's just two different things, you know, two different types of fighters. You know, Amanda just making the adjustment for this particular situation. And like I said, Valentina, she's just having a little bit of fun. When I think about it, yeah, she was just throwing out some humor, because when it comes down to it, that's what it was. It was funny. Regardless if she was serious, it was funny, because Amanda Nunes literally just trained for this style to expose the footwork of a Juliana Pena and the striking of Juliana Pena, right? And again, like I said, to get off the better right hands and to land the better shots that she didn't get off in the first fight, right? So yeah, that's all it was for me when it came down to it. I don't really take it seriously. Like I said, I just took it more so as Valentina Shevchenko just keeping her name in the mix amongst these fighters, especially when somebody like Juliana Pena mentions her, Amanda Nunes will mention her, you know, that's all it is. So yeah, I didn't really want to spend too much time, but you know, somebody just asked me, so I said, okay, I'll just talk about this little segment here. I'll just do a little segment and, you know, give you my quick thoughts. But yeah, overall, like I said, there's always going to be, I said this before, there's always going to be some tension between these three fighters, you know, Nunes, Pena, and Shevchenko, just because, you know, they all fought each other and they all had different outcomes. They're all three different fighters. So, you know, there's always going to be something said between these three. They're never really going to like each other like that. Or like JoJo said about a fighter back in the day, they're not all going to want to hold hands and walk the guard together, right? You know, because this is the fight game. You know, they're not supposed to. You know, they're all supposed to always have some type of rivalry here. So anytime they throw little shots here and there, we're going to talk about it and we're going to analyze, and we're always going to have something to say about it. But yeah, that's my thoughts on it. You know, at the time when I heard it, I was just like, come on, get real, Valentina. Just enjoy the fight for what it is. But it's like, as soon as she saw Southpaw, she was like, oh, she took my style. You know what I mean? So there probably is some little truth to it, since she did just tweet that first before she said great fight. Before she could compliment, she had to throw some little salt out there, right? But you know, it is what it is, right? But real quick, last couple things I just wanted to just talk about real quick is Cheyenne Velasquez and Tabitha Ricci, October 1st. I like that strawweight fight. That's a good fight. You know, we got two hungry, unranked prospects in the game. You know, Cheyenne Velasquez, you know, she's a very solid striker, you know, good kickboxer, you know, good hand speed, nice kicks, good footwork. You know, she's really been working on her footwork and her punch placement. Then you have Tabitha Ricci, a fighter that, you know, I was high on in LFA, and I thought there was some more steps that needed to be added to her game. But now that she's in the UFC, she's got to grow up faster, right? So now that she's here, you know, I want to see a little bit more from her. I know she's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. You know, she's a very strong grappler, and she has been working on her striking. You know, she's been working on her pressure and working on that overhand right. You know, so she does have some things going for her. But I think she's going to be in a tough fight with Cheyenne Velasquez. You know, I think Velasquez knows how to keep range. You know, she knows how to throw those combinations off and get out of the way. And her style is going to be kind of somewhat like a smaller Manon here. You know, she's not going to have that power, but she is going to have that footwork, you know, to get off shots and, you know, land that head kick every now and then on Tabitha Ricci. So it's going to be on Tabitha Ricci to close the distance and make this a gritty, ugly fight like Montserrat Ruiz. You know, Montserrat Ruiz, of course, that's what she trains for, you know, to be able to throw her opponents around, just get that headlock and just toss them, you know. So that's what she does. But I don't know if Tabitha Ricci is going to get takedowns the same way. Sometimes, you know, she can spend time on her feet striking. But when she does put that pressure on, she can get you to the ground. And, you know, Cheyenne Velasquez, she can be taken down. You know, she has showed that in that Ruiz fight. So I think this is a 50-50 fight. I can't really pick right now. But it's definitely one to look out for, because I feel like these two fighters, they are part of the future of the strawweight division. You know what I mean? They are going to have to take over, you know, when the Tisha Torres and the Rose and the Michelle Watersons, they all retire, because, you know, these other ladies have been in the division for 8 years now, so their time is going to be up soon. So eventually when they start retiring, these fighters are automatically going to be bumped up by default. You know, they're going to be put in the rankings by default, so they're going to have to grow up fast. They got to grow up fast from here. You know, they got to be ready, because eventually, yeah, they will be ranked whether they like it or not, right? But yeah, I think this striker versus grappler matchup is going to be a good one. Good match. Early pick, I'm not giving it yet, not sure, so keep that to myself. But yeah, other fight I'm looking forward to, this was just reported yesterday at the time of this recording, December 3rd, Tracy Cortez versus Amanda Ibas. Yeah, old Amanda Ibas done got her a little 15 spot, and she's got a new home at 125. She's still ranked in both divisions, I believe, like Jessica Andrade. But I think she likes what could happen here. I think she's liking her future here right now in the flyweight division. And I think she likes how she feels physically, you know. So Amanda Ibas might have a home now. You know, she gave Caitlin Chikagin a very good fight. You know, she came in as a late replacement, took on the number one contender, fought her to a split decision, earned a 15 spot off of that. And she probably said, you know what, if I work my way up this division, I can probably get a legit title shot. You know, that's probably her way of thinking right now. She probably said, you know what, if I can give the number one contender this tough a fight, if I go back to the drawing board and work my way up, I can make my way in here. And I think she could. You know, Amanda Ibas is not too far from a well-rounded fighter. I know I do feel like she's a bit chinny, but her moving up, it might help her chin out. Maybe she's a little chinny because of the weight cuts. You know, maybe she's going to carry a little bit more strength, and she'll be able to take the absorb punches, take the punches a little bit better here at this weight. She'll be a little bit stronger, you know. So I think that with her tools that she has, you know, solid grappler, black belt, right? Very strong, very good basic 1-2. You know, I think with what she's bringing to the table here is going to be effective for the division, you know. So, yeah, and she likes to fight. You know, she likes to fight. So I got to give Amanda Ibas a lot of credit for wanting to take a chance at 125, you know. So I think she's going to fit in well, but she's got to get past this fighter in front of her, Tracy Cortez. Now, Tracy Cortez, I know a lot of people don't see her as an active, spectacular fighter. You know, outside of the looks, people aren't really seeing her do anything like amazing. But to me, Tracy Cortez, she gets the job done. She gets the job done. She knows how to find ways to win. She knows how to nullify fighters. She has a good resume. You know, go back and look at her resume. Everybody from Agapova, Blanchfield, Edgar, Justine Quiche. You know, I'm just looking at the resume now. She's beat a lot of good fighters. You know, she's beat a lot of good fighters on her way up. You know, this before the UFC, right? So she knows how to fight. And Melissa Gatto. Let me go ahead and throw Melissa Gatto's name in there because I picked Melissa Gatto. But, yeah, Tracy Cortez, she's got some tools. You know, she knows how to clinch fight, slow fighters down. She can get it to the ground, and she's very good at defending submissions. You know, just little things like that. And she's scrappy. You know, I think she's a bit scrappy on the feet. You know, she's doesn't have the best striking, but it gets the job done. You know, so Ibas has got her hands full in this fight. And I think that both of these fighters, they are the future of the top 10. You know, I think both of these fighters can get the top 10. And, you know, I want to see them both get there because I think eventually they will be trouble for the top five. You know, I think Ibas, she's tough, she's scrappy, she showed it against Chikagan. Tracy Cortez, again, she's physically strong. And I think when she settles down and gets, you know, gets her weight right and stays in the flyweight division and really knows that she wants to focus here, you know, she'll start banging names out. You know, she'll start getting the Andrea Lees and Jennifer Myers and so on. And I feel the same way about Amanda Ibas. So, yeah, it's just all about them going in this fight here and making the statement. But, yeah, with Amanda Ibas moving up, I think that's good because with Jessica Ai out and JoJo out, all these fighters, they're going to need some new blood in there that's wanting to fight. You know, Amanda Ibas was like, yo, if I could beat Chikagan and beat somebody else in the top five, shoot, give me Valentina next. So we know when she gets the top five, she's going to want that smoke, right? So that's what we need, fighters that want to fight, fighters that are getting better. Tracy Cortez, you know, she carries a style about her. She has a good resume. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Do I have a pick for right now? Nope, not yet. Not giving that to y'all, but y'all can give me y'all's if you want. I'm looking forward to it, though. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and look at the rankings before I get up out of here, you know, because I just want to fill y'all in on some of the updates. Well, we already talked about it a little bit, right? We already know that Molly McCann broke into the top 15. She's number 15, so that would elevate. That would either elevate Ibas or make her exit. Let's see. Yeah, Amanda Ibas is out now. So, yeah, Amanda Ibas is actually unranked. She's actually fighting for a rank again. All right, so, yeah, Molly McCann is number 15, and Tracy Cortez is 14. All right, so, yeah, with Tracy Cortez 14, Ibas, you know, she's gunning for that 14 spot now. Now, yeah, I would put Molly McCann over Amanda Ibas now because Amanda lost to Chikagan, but Molly McCann at least got 3 wins to get her a 15 spot. So, yeah, that makes sense. But, yeah, this could be her chance to break back into the top 15 with a win over Tracy Cortez. It ain't going to be easy, though. It is not going to be easy. But, yeah, guys, that's all I got on this one. Final thoughts on this episode. Like I said, great weekend. But when it comes down to the fights, I think flyweight is just the division. You know, and that's just how it is, you know, flyweight, strawweight, because of the balance of talent and the balance of youth there, you know, until 135 sees another crop of new blood coming in and hungry fighters, we're just going to see it sit the way it is. It's just going to be stagnant, you know, it's just going to be right where it is right for right now. But the more you get these other fighters mixing it up at 125, girls moving up from strawweight, girls moving down from bantamweight, that division just going to keep on popping, you know. And the more and more fighters want to expose Valentina, you know, they're going to keep moving up in that division, right? So it is what it is, man. Like I said, I'm looking forward to these other fights. Guys, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. Like I said, make sure y'all subscribe to to the podcast on Combo Breaker 99, the YouTube channel, as well as iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, LinkedIn, Google Play, all of that. And yeah, tune in. You know, I'll be back next week with another one of these episodes, but y'all gonna catch me again throughout live streams, you know, whenever I come on through, right, on the channel. And yeah, make sure y'all subscribe. Let's keep on moving towards 1,000. And yeah, I'll catch y'all in the next one, guys. Combo Breaker 99, I'm out. Subscribe, peace.